The Dark Knight Revisited.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, back from the dead.
Back?
Well, whoa.
Back from the dead, wow.
Did that just change in your headphones, too?
It did, and I think when Colby and I were doing an episode recently, there was some weird stuff happening, and it translated to what they're hearing, so they might have just heard that happen also.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even know what that means.
I think it means that my return is long overdue.
For
rescue the sci-fi Christian.
Technological reasons. All right. Well, Ben, why are we here?
We are here to talk about The Dark Knight Rises, as well as Christopher Nolan's entire Dark Knight trilogy.
Perfect.
We are also going to touch on the news from this week about Joss Whedon and the Marvel Universe. And then we're going to talk about our thoughts on where the Batman franchise should go from here.
Do you want to open with a couple of voicemails that we have?
Why not?
Yeah, let's just get
some. I like how you're kind of shifting the format around on me a little bit. It's like where you...
Oh, wait, Ryan.
Goodbye.
Ryan, come here. Come here for a quick second.
I'm shy.
I just have to ask you a quick question about The Dark Knight Rises. So you were there. No, you haven't seen it. You weren't there.
We should ask him a question anyway.
Okay, were you surprised by how it ended? Yeah,
that was the Avengers.
The third one. What did you think about the Avengers? How about?
I liked it.
Good. Did you like it better than Dark Knight Rises?
I liked, who was the big guy? Hulk?
Yep.
He was funny.
I think we should just call him the big guy from now on.
Yeah, he was good. Okay, cool. Well, thanks for stopping by. That's Ryan Strelo.
Of Ryan Strelo Studios.
Yeah, that's right. So my roommate, who has just been on the show for the first time in the listeners' ears.
Let me sign off. This is Ryan signing off.
See you later.
That was beautiful. Goodbye, Ryan.
Is it signing out or off?
Signing off.
You can do either.
All right, Matt Anderson signing off.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Signing out. Yeah,
so we have a lot of listener feedback. Like, they have their own episodes now. So this time, like, if it's about the subject, I'm just going to play it. So here we go. John Wilkerson with feedback about The Dark Knight Rises.
Hello, Matt, Daniel, Kobe, and Ben. John Wilkerson here, and I just want to share with you my thoughts on The Dark Knight Rises. Now, first I want to say the movie overall was excellent. I really enjoyed the movie. I think it was a great movie. Best movie I've seen this year so far. And probably won't see another movie this year. However, my chief complaint about the movie is that it's not a Batman movie. It's about Gotham and the residents of Gotham and Bruce Wayne. It's not about Batman at all. I think we go almost an hour into the movie before we ever see the cape and the cowl. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But to say that this movie is a Batman movie, it certainly is not, I don't think. Batman is in the movie, but I wouldn't consider this a Batman movie. The other thing is that I wonder if originally the character of Bane was supposed to be the Joker. Because I think with very few changes to the plot, you could take Bane out and put the Joker in. And I wonder if because of the death of Heath Ledger and how well he portrayed the Joker, they did not want to recast the part. I think this would have been better if the character of Bane was the Joker. I think Anne Hathaway as Catwoman was great. I love the way she portrayed the character. I really like the way that they realistically used her martial arts abilities. She wasn't just decking people and knocking them out. She was using her size to her advantage and her acrobatic ability to her advantage. That was really cool. The audio was terrible. There's no way around it. The audio was terrible, and I really think it took away from the movie. There were some scenes I was concentrating so hard on listening to what Bane was saying that it took me out of the movie. It took me out of the experience. There were also times when I had trouble suspending disbelief because, well, I'll give you an example. After Batman's back was broken, he's in prison, and in 5 months he recovers. I really had trouble with that. And the other thing was after he, you know, he's all beat up and he's all torn up, and all of a sudden he comes back and he's whooping tail on all these guys. I have trouble with that. There's no way that someone who was in as rough physical condition as Batman was, as Bruce Wayne was at the time, there's just no way he could have performed the way that he did. There was no Batmobile. We never saw the Batmobile. The Batmobile is part of Batman. Come on, we got to have a Batmobile. We didn't see it. The Bat was, the helicopter thingy was just, I mean, that was more of a weapon than Bruce, you know, we never really, that was used more than we saw any combat from Batman. And I can understand with the fact that he was beat up, that he needed a crutch, so to speak, to help him out. I think this movie would have been better served if after Batman's back was broken, that Bruce Wayne trained Blake to take over to be Batman. And then when Batman comes to save the city, it's not Bruce Wayne. It's actually Blake. I think they could have worked that in there a little bit better. That's one, the only other thing I would have tweaked about the movie. Especially if the backbreaking had happened earlier in the movie, that definitely would have worked, because they would have had more time throughout the script to work it. That being said, I still think this is an excellent movie. I can't give it a 5. The reason I can't give it a 5 is because of the audio, because the audio was so terrible. And just because I really felt like there should have been more Batman in this movie. So I'm going to give it a 4.5. I've never given a movie a 5 rating, so 4.5 is about as high as you're going to get from me. Enjoyed the movie. Enjoyed hearing your initial reactions. Hope you like mine. This is John Wilkerson, signing off.
Thank you, John, for your thoughts. So I took notes feverishly.
Good job.
As he was talking. So,
yeah, I can understand some of the complaints, and I've heard other people complain about the audio.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I've seen it twice, and I didn't have a trouble understanding a single word either time. Maybe I just have super ears.
That's possible. I could relate to the thing about like Bane maybe not being quite as easy to understand as
like Pat. I thought Bane's voice was awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Yeah.
It is cool. But well, let's just take it a little bit of time. Since we're talking about Bane, he had said he thought that maybe the movie was supposed to be Joker instead.
I don't see that working.
Yeah, I don't see that working either. I don't think that Bane had a pretty specific origin story that really involved Talia. Oh, I should say, spoilers ahead in this.
And behind, apparently.
Yeah, so, sorry guys. So, that was, Bane's character had to be part of the League of Shadows. Joker was not part of the League of Shadows.
I think the Joker would have been in it if Heath Ledger had lived. Like, at least a cameo or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, I can't see the Joker being the main villain again in this one.
Yeah.
No way.
The Scarecrow, though. Nice to see him.
Yep, that was fun.
Not a Batman movie. This is one of the first things John had said, and I actually completely agree with this. Because, and this has been something I've said to a lot of people, that this was a great movie, and if it wasn't, I mean, if Batman wasn't even in it, if it wasn't a Batman movie, it still would have been a great movie because the story was so strong.
Yeah.
It could have easily been like a 24 movie, like Jack Bauer has to save the day instead.
Except there was intelligence in the script, which there was none of that in 24.
But
so,
for example, it could have been a counter-terrorist movie rather than a Batman movie. It didn't feel very superhero-y.
Which, I like that,
which
actually.
It's not necessarily bad if that's what you're interested in, but yeah, it was, and that's why it's so hard to compare Avengers to Dark Knight Rises. They're completely different movies.
Yes, they are in fact two different movies.
I mean, I love the Avengers, but like it's hard to keep them in the same genre even.
Yeah, I think I think though that this is kind of what Nolan's always been doing with this series. To lesser extents, maybe in the other two, but these were never meant to be superhero movies. They were meant to put Batman in a pseudo-realistic world. I think that the realism is suspended in places like what John was talking about with the healing his back and him being able to fight and all that. But it is a realistic world, and it's not meant to be a movie like Avengers.
Okay. What did you think about his thoughts on Catwoman. He seemed to like her, Anne Hathaway in the role. You agreed with that?
Yeah, I thought Anne Hathaway was great. Do you remember when that initial picture came out and there's all these fans? It looks terrible.
Yeah.
Well, this is why you guys should have shut up.
Oh, nice.
That was a mean moment for me, but so, I feel justified by saying it.
I think it was somebody attached to the movie, maybe Christopher Nolan even, said that of the characters in the movie, Catwoman would be the one he'd like to see get her own movie going forward.
Yeah.
He's definitely not going to work on it, but
no.
I don't think anybody in this movie will ever see themselves in another movie, like the exact characters. Like, I don't think...
There'll be in other movies, like the actors will be in other
movies. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's just to clarify.
So,
that's it. I'm retiring.
For example, I have some friends that pretty strongly think that they're going to continue these movies and have Joseph Gordon-Levitt be Batman going forward, and I don't think... I think the story is meant to end with him, but not... continue with him.
Yeah, you could, and it could be cool. You know, there could be a cool movie there, but it won't happen.
Yeah. So just now, something broke off my pen, so I said, hey, I'm just going to toss in the garbage. And I remembered, wait, there's microphones everywhere. This is an audio program, so sorry for that crash in the background.
Oh, it's okay.
Batplane versus Batmobile. It's not the Batplane, just the Bat.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't, you know, this is one of those things where you either are going to accept the fact that Nolan's doing something we've never seen done in a superhero movie before, and so your checklist of things you have to see in a Batman movie doesn't apply, and which is where I land, or you don't think Nolan should have that free reign, in which case you kind of land where it sounds like John is a little bit. I just don't get that. I don't. It's not a Batmobile. That isn't what makes or breaks a Batman movie for me, and I'd much rather have seen, as we saw, Nolan being able to complete his vision as he wanted to without having a checklist of things he has to include for it to be considered a legit Batman movie.
Okay, good. And I think the last thing, would you have preferred to have seen Bruce Wayne train John Blake and see John Blake actually in the costume, or are you glad with the way it went?
I was fine with the way it went. I think that would have been interesting, though I think, honestly, that would have made people mad.
If John Blake became Batman at the end?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Like, if you'd seen John Blake instead of Bruce Wayne finishing out the movie as Batman. And to be honest, Batman doesn't do that much combat when he comes back. I agree that there's some suspension of disbelief, but most of it is done in the Bat, and then he has a small portion where he's fighting with some of Bane's thugs and with Bane, but he doesn't do that much combat,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting. Looks like we got another piece of feedback here. This one is from Ben Avery of the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
I don't know him. He must be a new...
Hey, this is a message for the Sci-Fi Christian. After listening to your instant feedback, you asked for listener feedback, so I'm about to give you some. Hey, guys, this is Ben Avery from the Strangers and Aliens podcast at strangersandaliens.com. I have to say, I loved Dark Knight Rises, both
as
a standalone movie and as the...
Dang it. I just realized he left two messages. This one got cut off, and so he called back and left another one. Sorry, Ben.
It's okay.
Not you.
Well, I'll forgive you anyway.
No, not you. The other Ben.
On behalf of all Bens, you are forgiven.
Raz, and now I mixed them up. I don't know which one it is. I think it's this one. Okay, this is Ben Avery's message. So you said you don't know who he is. Ben Avery hosts a podcast that is strangely similar to the Sci-Fi Christian.
Oh my gosh.
Called Strangers and Aliens, from that very famous passage in... Are you familiar with the passage?
In the Bible?
Yeah. Do you know what book?
Is it the book of Hebrews?
Maybe. Let's find out. I think 1 Corinthians. Let's check it out. Here we go. 1 Peter.
We were both wrong.
Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. That's King James, yo.
I'm abstaining from fleshly lusts right now.
So they started a podcast. Let's just talk about this. Ben Avery, another Ben, starts a Christian sci-fi podcast. And while I'm playing his voicemail, I'm going to load up some podcasts here, not actually play them, just the titles, and let's let everybody know how they've ripped us off.
Matt, could we have another sci-fi feud on our hands?
The only reason I'm bringing this up is to start another sci-fi feud.
And is it any coincidence that when I return to the podcast, we're immediately lodged into another sci-fi feud?
This is all in good fun. I've actually just started listening to it. It's a great podcast, Strangers and Aliens. I'll give you the website after this.
All right, this is take two.
That must be the right one.
Avery here from the Strangers and Aliens podcast at strangersandaliens.com. I want to say I loved The Dark Knight Rises both as a standalone movie and as the end of a trilogy. Now, there were some plot problems, and this is true in all three movies, but a lot of that comes largely from Christopher Nolan, especially with these Batman movies, wanting to make a movie about something. It's not just a popcorn action movie or a character study. It's about big ideas and exploring questions and sometimes even answers. One theme I found to be very interesting in The Dark Knight Rises was that there was a unique dichotomy. What will you live for versus what will you die for? You have Bane's men, these men who follow him as he leads uprisings and creates controlled chaos in the name of the League of Shadows, who are willing to die for the cause, making them perfect terrorists. First scene of the movie, one of the men is getting ready to escape a crashing plane. Bane says, "No, brother, one of our corpses used to be following." The dude says, "Oh, okay, sure." That's my paraphrase. Meanwhile, Selina Kyle is learning what she wants to live for and is completely unwilling to die for anything except for herself, hedging her bets with every interaction as she tries to get what she wants. Until the end, when Bruce tells her he knows there's more to her than that. Alfred, who has devoted his life to Bruce, gives up that life completely, calling Bruce's bluff when he invites Alfred to leave. Alfred does leave. He turns his back on that entire life that he has lived for that in service to that one person. Then you have the police, symbolized by Matthew Modine's character and Commissioner Gordon, two sides of that coin, who have already given an oath to protect and to serve, and some of them giving their lives ultimately in the battle against Bane and his army. And of course, there's Bruce himself, who has lost the will to live for anything and is willing to let himself just die for nothing at the beginning of this movie. This whole movie is about Bruce going from a state of apathetic hopelessness and inaction to sacrifice, motivated by hope. This is metaphorically and literally portrayed with the pit sequence, where he must acknowledge the legitimacy of fear and the desire to cling to life, but also acknowledge the risk is worth taking because of hope. And he acknowledges both by climbing from the darkness of the pit up into the light. In the end, Bruce is willing to die for something, not because of the death wish that Alfred saw he had earlier. When the Dark Knight trilogy begins, Bruce was willing to die for his cause of vengeance. And then that in the Dark Knight, he is willing to give up everything for justice. And by the end of The Dark Knight Rises, he is willing to die for his new cause, but this time his cause is the people of Gotham, not just these ideals. There's more, but I've gone on too long. Keep up the good work. Ben Avery of StrangersandAliens.com, signing off.
Signing off. And interestingly, Ben, before we talk about Ben Avery's message there, I once, on an episode that I've been listening to as I've been catching up on The Strangers and Aliens, guess how they end their show?
Signing off.
This is.
Can I throw the theory?
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't think his name is really Ben.
You don't think so?
Probably not.
You're like, okay, I've heard a podcast that has to do with science fiction and Christianity. They had a Ben. We need a Ben. But they didn't find it necessary to have a Matt. Interesting.
Speaking of that, quick tangent here. I cheated on you this last week.
I heard.
Yeah.
With Rick Lee James.
With Rick Lee James. When you put it like that.
So,
I think it's coming out tomorrow.
What was the episode about?
Dark Knight Rises. So this is actually the second podcast that I've recorded on this Dark Knight Rises.
Rick Lee James, which podcast is called?
Voices in My Head. He's a great guy.
Yeah, good guy. I'm friends with him on Facebook. We've talked briefly. We'll probably have him on the show at some point. How did you guys connect?
We were just talking about Dark Knight on Facebook.
And he's like, hey, you should be on my show.
I should. Yeah. So I went on. I was a guest host. Or maybe just a guest. And yeah. We had a good conversation.
So actually, I got an idea. If you want to hear Ben's thoughts on Dark Knight Rises, just go ahead and go to, do you know what their website is even?
No idea.
All right, well, that's all from here. This episode's over. Just go head on over to Rick Lee James Podcast, Voices in My Head.
Google it.
Yeah, you can find out everything you want to know. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And this is Sci-Fi Christian. No, we're not doing that. Okay.
I'm sorry for cheating on you.
I'm not mad.
Good, because I wasn't sorry.
I'm hurt. Yeah. But just when I thought that maybe we could reconcile, I've now decided that this is your last episode.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. So listen,
you're going to be stuck with Kobe then.
Ben Avery. I'm sorry I didn't take notes while listening to your message because I was actually looking up your website, which you can find, strangersandaliens.com. So that's the podcast. Listen to these episodes. So they're episode one, their pilot episode. was called Why Sci-Fi, where they talked about why they like science fiction.
That's the same thing we talked about.
Interesting. They've had an episode. They did this before us, so they talked about time travel before us. But after us, they had an episode all about Lord of the Rings.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
They've also done one on Star Wars. They've done one. This is not exact. I don't think we've ever done this. Sci-fi versus fantasy. It's kind of interesting.
But we thought about doing it. That counts.
They had one on zombies. Oh, interesting. What was
zombie Jesus.
Zombie Jesus. That's amazing. Here's one. We almost have the exact same episode title for one of our episodes. Marvel movies versus DC movies. We've had that conversation numerous times, Ben Avery. You've been caught. I think I'll stop there.
But should we demand something?
Yeah, let's demand something.
What would you like to demand?
I want revenge.
We demand revenge. I don't know if you can extract revenge.
Okay. I don't know. I mean,
or maybe it's exact revenge.
Here are the hosts: Ben Avery, Dr. Jace O'Neill, and Steve McDonald. They are the people at the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
We demand one of you change your name to Matt for sake of equality.
Yeah, right now. I want Dr. Jace to be known as Dr. Matt for one whole
episode. You can drop the doctor if you use Matt.
No, because I'll be a doctor before you.
No.
Yeah, I will. Especially with the fact that you're going for your, what is it, THM?
THM.
And I'm skipping it. I've got my MATS. I'm going straight to doctorate.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm going to be a doctor
before you. I thought you were doing your THM at Northwestern.
Change my mind.
Change your mind.
Decide I don't need two masters when I can get one master.
You changed your mind 5 seconds ago for the sake of this argument.
No. I've had this idea for years.
For years.
So, all right, let's back to the show. So, do you remember anything that Ben Avery said in his voicemail?
We talked about how the movie, one of the themes of the movie is, what are you willing to die for? I thought he had some good stuff in there.
Good stuff.
It was similar to what I would say, coincidentally enough.
He also wrote, this is really cool, on our website he wrote, I'm just going to read part of it here. As a whole, the trilogy is awesome. Batman Begins and Dark Knight Rises are bookends, and in between them is a chapter that soars above them. Yeah, that's true. But as much as the first and last chapters are connected, the Dark Knight is needed to push Bruce and Jim and Alfred to the points where they need to be 8 years later in Rises. So, now listen to this. As for Bane's mask, consider this. Bane is the flip side to Bruce Wayne. They were both trained by the League of Shadows to different results. Bane continued training and pushing his mind and body to be what it needed to be for the final battle. Bruce let his go. Bane was motivated to act because of a girl. Bruce was manipulated to act because of a girl. Bruce's mask covers everything except his mouth. Bane's mask covers only his mouth.
And a little strip along his nose. But I suppose that would have been a little weird if...
Yeah, that would have been weird.
Yeah.
So, thoughts?
That's a good observation.
I don't understand this comment that we had on our website from Mike, who's on our team, our staff of writers. I reluctantly have to agree with Matt's ranking of the trilogy. Dark Knight is definitely the best, then Batman Begins, and then Dark Knight Rises. Wow. And he likes, the thing he likes most about Dark Knight, it looks like, is Heath Ledger's uber compelling Joker and the clear through line of, at what point are you corruptible? So, Ben, are you ready to reluctantly agree with me on my ranking, which would put it this in this order, 2-1-3?
No, I'd for sure say that Batman Begins would be at the bottom of my list, which is shocking because that's an incredible movie.
It is an incredible movie.
I am honestly pretty torn between 2 and 3, and here's why. I think that 3, I felt, and I've seen it twice now, I felt it was an excellent movie throughout the entire thing. I felt beginning to end, it was brilliant. I loved everything in the movie. Dark Knight, the second half of that movie is perfect.
Yeah.
It's 100% flawless and is better than The Dark Knight Rises.
Wow, good, good.
The first half of that movie has some problems.
Just setup, you mean?
I'm not crazy about the Hong Kong sequence. I find it a little bit dull. It's an okay action sequence, but unlike a lot of Christopher Nolan stuff, there's nothing deeper going on there. Mm-hmm. But my biggest nitpick in the first half of that movie is the scene where Batman takes fingerprints off a bullet. That scene
I remember that.
Makes no sense whatsoever.
Like what specifically?
it's utterly incomprehensible that the Joker planted this fingerprint on a bullet, then shot it into the wall with the hope of Batman finding it, being able to recreate the bullet and pull a fingerprint off so that he could find out where the hostages are, so that the timer would go off at the exact right moment and the cop would shoot at him? Yeah, not so much.
What are you saying?
There's suspension of disbelief, and then there's utter incoherence. And okay. That sequence I just described is so incoherent, it takes me out of the movie every time I watch it.
Wow.
I think that some of the setup is a little bit shaky plot-wise in Dark Knight in the first half of the movie. You know, the whole stuff with the mob banks and all that. It doesn't make a ton of sense. But all that aside, everything that comes after and everything with the Joker throughout the whole movie is so brilliant that it's really tough to argue with that as the best film in the trilogy. So I'm quite divided on 2 and 3.
Mike said that Dark Knight Rises is just a micron below Batman Begins. So tight race for him. I don't know who this is from, but we got a voicemail here.
This is Clark from Hawaii. This is my review of the Dark Knight Rises. I think it was really awesome. 5 stars. Way better than the last two, and especially the first one, because I didn't really like Batman Begins. And then Dark Knight I like because of the fact that there's a lot of Batman. And this one, even though there's hardly any Batman, I actually liked it better. Okay, besides that, so that's my opinion. I also wanted to ask you guys 2 questions. One is, why do you think that Batman is still alive? Because I think that Alfred seeing them was just an illusion, because he said himself that he used to imagine that Bruce was there with the chick, and I think he was just imagining them. And I could have sworn that they disappeared right after he turned his head around, and because I could have sworn that the camera is still on the table without them there. And then my second question is, do you think that if they do make a Justice League movie, that it would be the Robin guy? I forget what he said his full name was, but the guy at the very end who finds the Robin suit, the FBI agent, do you think that he's going to be the Batman that they use, or do you think that they're going to just completely reboot it? Because I think they're going to use him, and the reason why they didn't, they kept on saying that, because technically they kept on saying Christian Bale's Batman, which it won't be Christian Bale, it will be the new guy. Anyways, so that's my opinion, and hopefully you guys can answer those 2 questions. All right, thank you, and aloha.
Aloha.
No, I aloha.
Think, and, disregard my last message because I screwed up at the end. All right, thank you.
Okay, disregarded. I didn't tell you this, but I saw 2 from the same number, and 1 was shorter, so I picked the longer one. So, anyways.
Why? I think, good thing we're screening our calls.
Yeah, it's pre-recorded. It's not like anything bad's going to go out there.
I don't know.
I think he said his name is Carl. Is that what it sounded like to you? Or mm-hmm. Car?
This is Car from Hawaii.
Car? Well, from Hawaii, either way. Anyways, before I go on to talk about your call, I want to go to Hawaii. And I don't have any place to stay. So let's hear it again.
This is Car from Hawaii.
Car?
I'm going to go with Carl.
Okay, Carl. So, Carl, keep me in mind. Keep listening. And if you let me stay with you and your family in Hawaii, I will bring you an official Sci-Fi Christian t-shirt.
We don't have those. And don't let them come anywhere near you.
Okay, here's what he said. At the end, was Bruce Wayne and Anne Hathaway, or sorry, Selina Kyle, were they illusions in Alfred's mind? Ben.
I wondered that a little bit, too, after the first time I saw it. Mm-hmm. I will say that you could make a case in that direction, namely because you see a shot of Batman about 10 seconds before the bomb blows up in the bat.
Yeah, exactly.
But having watched it a second time and paying very close attention there, the evidence is overwhelmingly in the other direction.
I am 100% positive Bruce Wayne is alive at the end. However, upon my second viewing, I also paid attention to that idea that you see Batman in the bat,
yeah,
right before it goes off. Even if he ejects and it's on autopilot, he's not far away. He's not 6 miles away from that explosion.
Right.
So a little bit of a plot hole, but just to put your mind at ease, Carl.
Covering your bases.
He is alive. Bruce Wayne is alive at the end.
Do you think there is some intentional ambiguity, though? We know that Nolan likes to screw with us. in terms of reality.
I guess.
Not literally.
No, but I guess. I mean, if you look at Inception, that's probably the... Even Memento, really.
Yeah, Memento, Prestige. Christopher Nolan messes with reality. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's not a plot hole, but an intentional edit that Christopher Nolan put in just to introduce a little bit of ambiguity.
So Carl had also said, perhaps John Blake will be the new Batman in the JLA, but I think there's going to be a Justice League movie.
No.
Not a chance. Sorry, Carl.
Nope.
Yeah, that's not going
to
happen.
Did you hear that who they've asked to direct the Justice League movie?
No, who?
This is breaking news today. Ben Affleck.
No. Really?
Really.
I mean, he's not a horrible director.
He's made some good movies.
Yeah, he's made some good ones, but that is a surprise.
It is.
Wow. Let's talk more about Batman.
Maybe he'll play Batman and Matt Damon will be Robin.
Let's talk more about what you want to do with
Robin Williams will be Alfred. We'll have a little Goodwill Hunting reunion.
I would love that.
That'd be pretty awesome.
If Matt Damon was in it, that would make me happy. I like him. We have some other movie news that surrounds around Marvel. So let's talk about Batman. Tell me more about what you see as like the overarching story.
Well, one comment I was going to make as we were talking about it, rankings, is that I actually would find any order of rankings with this trilogy justifiable. I could see somebody saying Batman Begins is the best. I think that all these films are so close together that I really see any order as being justifiable.
Okay.
The overarching story. I would say, obviously the theme of heroism resonates throughout, and the idea of being a symbol, something Bruce Wayne mentions in the beginning, something that's of Batman Begins as he's on that plane back with Alfred. Something that's huge in The Dark Knight, and then obviously at the end of Dark Knight Rises, Bruce Wayne basically making the statement by his leaving and getting John Blake into that role that the symbol is more important than the man who possesses it. So I think you could see the evolution of the heroic symbol as being important. People have commented, and I think there's... I don't know if I agree with this fully, but I think it's an interesting comment that Dark Knight Rises is the most comic book-esque of the three movies. Mm-hmm. And so I think
Batman Begins, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Origin story. I would probably say that.
But Batman Begins starts out so grounded in reality with him in the prison camp, so I think you could make an argument that the story is about going from pure reality to a legendary comic book figure.
Okay.
So I think you could go some interesting directions in there. I also think that the theme of masks and identity flows throughout all three of these films, with Bruce Wayne taking up the mantle of this mask, this figure, and that figure threatening to overcome him. And then we see somebody in the Joker who is purely the symbol. There's no man left there. We never find out his origin story. We know nothing about him.
Awesome.
And then Bane is somebody who I don't remember which of our callers pointed this out, but it was a good comment that he's kind of the opposite of Batman. He's the one who... he does what Bruce Wayne was unwilling to do, and he is fully possessed by that symbol as well, though in a way that's different from the Joker. So certainly the evolution of how we take on these masks, we put on these identities, and how they begin to overtake us, and the tension that introduces to a person is huge in the trilogy.
Good. Yeah. I would say I like what Ben said about how Batman Begins and Dark Knight Rises bookends, but you couldn't get to the third one without Dark Knight. It's that important. And I've heard Dark Knight even being compared to like the Emperor Strikes Back of the Batman trilogy.
It's true.
Yeah, and as we both know, Emperor Strikes Back is the best one.
It is.
So I'm surprised that you're saying Dark Knight is not the best movie.
Well, I said I'm undecided. Yeah. I'm waffling. Yeah. One of the things I brought up on the Voices in My Head podcast that I cheated on you with is that I actually think the connection between Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises is pretty strong. And one of the ways that it really fascinates me is that at the end of Dark Knight, we see them doing whatever they can to prevent the Joker from winning.
Mm-hmm.
So they tell this lie about who Harvey Dent was, who Batman was, and they tell this lie with the hopes of it will prevent the Joker from winning. I argued on the Voices in My Head podcast that...
shaking my head in disgrace.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to keep name dropping it.
Sorry, Rick Lee James. When you were on the show, did you call him Rick Lee or just Rick?
I think I just called him Rick.
Sorry, Rick.
Sorry, Rick. I'm not sorry. that what you're seeing in Dark Knight Rises is actually the Joker's victory 8 years later, because the lie backfires on them. The lie paves the way for everything that Bane is able to do. And so, although they tried to prevent the Joker winning, they only delayed his victory, and the Joker is ultimately victorious in what Bane does in Dark Knight Rises.
Wow, good analysis.
All right, what can I say?
I know, I like it. So, if only Joker was around to claim his victory. You know, Christopher Nolan purposely left out any mention of Joker. He went out of his way to not have a Joker mentioned in there, because he's still alive, as we know.
There is a reference to him in the novelization.
Yes, true.
You've heard about that.
I did, and there's also a reference to Talia in the novelization of Batman Begins.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So a little connections all over the place.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
So let me see here. As you were talking, I was lining up some things. Bane, did you or did you not know that there are deleted scenes in The Dark Knight Rises?
Yep. Of his origin story.
Yeah, it's about Bane's backstory. So, as if Dark Knight Rises couldn't get any longer.
I thought, if anything, the movie was too short.
Did you really think so?
Yeah.
2 hours and 45 minutes.
I thought it was too short.
It could have had more in there.
Oh, yeah. I thought, it was one of these movies that was so fast-paced, it seemed like it just went flying by. If it could have been 4 or 5 hours, that would have been perfect.
4 or 5 hours? Nobody would like that.
I would.
Do you think that they'll release an extended version?
Unfortunately not. Christopher Nolan's never done a director's cut of any of his movies, but I think I read one quote where he said that Jonathan Nolan's initial draft of the script was 400 pages long.
Wow.
So there's got to be some other stuff in there.
Wow. So you think it's all in the novelization?
No.
Are you going to read it?
No.
Okay. Why are novelizations of movies so bad?
Because they're a cheap way to cash in.
Yeah. Good thoughts.
Though the novelization of episode one is actually superior to the movie, so that tells you something.
That's not hard. Do you have other thoughts that you want to say? Because I do have a closing thought.
I wanted to ask you, because when we came out, you were mildly disappointed.
Yeah.
And then you went back to see it again, and we haven't talked since.
Okay,
then.
Good. Yeah, I saw it just 2 days later. We saw it on a Thursday late evening into Friday morning. I saw it Sunday afternoon, I believe it was. And I liked it better the second time, because my expectations were different. For what I was going to see, I was able to pay attention to some of the clues where it was leading to. So then I was able to see the parts where Bruce Wayne is talking to John Blake and really preparing him. And you can see him, he must have seen something in John Blake, because he was giving him little talks about how it's about the symbol, not about the man. And then there was something he said right...
You've got to wear a mask.
Yeah, you've got to wear a mask. Yeah, he was... I know John Wilkerson had said that there should have been more of Bruce training John, but I really liked what we saw. I love the character John Blake.
Yeah.
I've had some friends that I went with that day saying, well, obviously he's going to become Robin. And I was like, no.
No.
That would be stupid. That would be like me becoming a superhero and calling myself Matthew.
<It's> like, best superhero name ever.
The whole point, this is what I believe, the whole point of Christopher Nolan making that character's first name Robin was to tell us, don't worry, he's not going to become Robin. He's the idea of what Robin could be, and he's going to become the next Batman. We can agree on that.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You are spot on.
Yeah, there's zero... So if there's anybody in the audience that is still thinking Robin John Blake is going to call himself Robin...
What should I call myself?
I know.
Robin.
No, that's not what's going to happen. He's clearly going to become Batman. So it's surprising. There's more than just these people I've talked with have thought that. So...
If anything, you could make an argument he'd be Nightwing.
That would be sweet.
Yeah.
But Batman's cooler. Yeah. It's a cool idea, especially in Christopher Nolan's world, that the Batman symbol exists.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Plus, you have the repaired bat signal at the end. Yeah. So
that was, and I think, actually, speaking of that, that's another piece of evidence that Bruce Wayne does live. Because even, let's say, Alfred did just see an illusion, illusions don't fix bat signals. somebody repaired it, it was Bruce Wayne.
Or... could have been, like, just to make the counter argument, you could say that it was John Blake or Blake and Gordon working together.
Unless that montage that we saw at the end was not in actual time, like if it was all out of order, we saw John Blake swinging into the cave around the same time as Gordon was finding the bat signal.
That's true.
But I guess you could say it was just not in
chronological order. You can piece together circumstantial evidence to make it work, but I would agree with you. The evidence is overwhelming in the other direction.
It is kind of surprising how far in advance Bruce had the plan for John Blake to take over, because think about it. He would have had to have willed that before he got his back broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think... did we see any evidence that that Bruce Wayne was definitely expecting to not come back from that?
Oh, I think he knew he was done. Like, take his visit to the doctor where the doctor tells him you got nothing left in his legs.
Okay.
He knows his body's at the end. In fact, when I was on the...
But, I mean, he took care of it. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, sure, he knows he's done, but he actually willed the Batcave to him.
I know.
And so he had to have... When he went to that encounter with Bane where Catwoman was leading the way and she betrayed him, do you think at that point he knew, I'm going to this to die?
I don't know if he was planning to die there, but I think he knew that his time was up soon. Mm-hmm. When I was on the Voices in My Head podcast with Rick Lee James, one of the things Rick pointed out is that he had read somewhere that somebody had analyzed, like, how long could someone actually survive being Batman? And they said 3 years, tops, is the longest your body could last taking that kind of punishment.
What is Rick Lee James's podcast about? Why was he talking about Batman? I thought he was about music.
Well, he just brings on different, intelligent, highly entertaining, charismatic guests to talk about different topics.
So it's not about music.
Not exclusively. Musician, yeah, right? He'll have people who've written books on there. He'll have scholars on. He has musicians on.
Do you remember
has geniuses on. You know, he just brings on the best people. It's what he does.
Do you remember the time that he told us he was going to write a song for the Sci-Fi Christian, but then he never did?
No, I don't remember that.
Go back to the archives.
It's probably because I left. He's like,
whatever. Can you, since you guys are friends now, the next time you're on the show, next time he calls you on, do you mind asking him about that song for me?
Yeah, I can ask him about that.
Right, thanks. Maybe send him a quick message.
Yeah, well, you could probably do that.
Hey, maybe
I don't want to take advantage of our friendship.
Do you think maybe, well, how about this? Just tell him that you're going to be on this episode so he'll listen.
Did you know that he said Sci-Fi Christian is his favorite podcast?
Wow. That's awesome. Thank you, Rick Lee James.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll watch for that song. So, okay. Last thought here, not about Dark Knight Rises, but about Batman.
Yeah.
We're going to, if you look at our most recent episodes, every episode for like the last 10 starts with the Dark Knight.
So is it time to move on after this?
Yeah, I'm exaggerating. It's not the last 10, but it's the last a lot. So I had promised an episode about the Batcave, but I figured I promised that like a year ago. You can wait a little longer.
People have forgotten.
Yeah.
Wait.
So that's not coming. That's not coming for a while. We're going to take a break from Batman for a while. We're going to go back to our roots, talk about some theology mixed with sci-fi stuff, maybe talk about something besides superheroes for a while. So,
yeah.
But not for so long, because September, so we're right now in August. It's August 8th today. September, I think 16th, you and I and Daniel Butcher.
Oh yeah, we're going to Batman Live.
Batman Live, the World Arena Tour.
I can't wait for it. Colin's already seen it. Does Colin still listen?
Yeah, Colin's still a listener. Yeah, so
Hi, Colin.
It's
been a while, mate.
So, we'll be back in about a month to talk about Batman Live.
Yeah.
So listeners, let's take a little hiatus from Superhero Talk. Let's come back with some other things. Feel free to call us at
612-4121-SFC.
Or you could email me at feedback@thescifichristian.com.
Indeed.
So that's the end of Batman.
One more Batman topic.
Okay.
Where does the series go from here?
Nowhere, and it's over.
Well, obviously they're going to make another Batman movie.
This is what they'll do. Christopher Nolan's world is complete. No more things happening there, but the feel of it will be similar. They will have Bruce Wayne again, as usual.
Good call.
John Blake will not exist. What I was working towards is John Blake won't be there.
Okay.
That was a character that is only in Christopher Nolan's world. Although, how sweet would it be if that character ends up in the comic books?
How sweet would it be if they had Joseph Gordon-Levitt be the next Bruce Wayne?
I wouldn't be opposed to that. There is a character in the comic books named Tim Drake.
Yes.
Which rhymes with Blake. You may have noticed.
It doesn't rhyme with John Blake.
No, it doesn't. I had to stop myself. Tim Drake was the third Robin, and he is a lot of people's favorite Robin, and he is the most, of the Robins, he's the most detective-ish.
Yeah.
He's the most similar to Bruce Wayne. I think John Blake is Tim Drake.
They should have named him Jim Blake. That would have been a...
Oh, that would have really messed with people. No, because Jim Gordon.
Yeah, that's true.
They should have just called him Tim Drake. That would have been sweet.
Yeah.
So, worked. Anyways, don't know why I brought that up, but interesting side note. So,
I think that whoever makes the next Batman movie is in a terrible position.
Like they're...
They can't win.
Yeah.
Here's how I think DC can get around this. And avoid having the, oh, we hate reboots thing that happened with Amazing Spider-Man. Avoid putting a director in a really horrible position. Here's what they should do. So, DC executives, listen up. I am going to save the Batman franchise for you.
All right, what do you got?
TV show. make a TV show a la Breaking Bad, put it on cable, something like AMC or even HBO,
okay,
and make a TV show highly serialized of Batman that can run 4 to 5 seasons, spin off into a film series after that. If you put it in a different medium like that, people will accept an origin story in a way that they won't if you come back in 3 years and try and reboot the franchise. It puts some healthy distance between you and Christopher Nolan and allows somebody else to develop a new vision in a different medium that doesn't feel like you're trying to either replicate Christopher Nolan or moving too far away. You're in a lose-lose situation. I guess I'm addressing them directly now. Yeah. You're in a lose-lose situation with trying to reboot. Don't do it. Put him on TV and make an awesome cable TV show.
I actually disagree. Sorry. This is what this is what I think is the way to do it. And this is not an original idea. I've heard it before, but this is the way I think it would work best. I know they're already doing a Superman movie and there's no way around it, but next movie, don't worry about single characters, just do the Justice League. Establish Batman in that world. We've had a lot of Batman lately. Mm-hmm. So if there's other team members, they can have a little bit of Batman, but not overpower the whole movie with Batman. Of course, he'll probably end up saving the day, but there'll be other people to focus on, so it's not so much like all Batman, because I think people are going to get sick of him, even though he's awesome. So always leave people wanting more, right? So yeah. Batman will be in there. But he won't be, like, for example, Hulk, I think, is a good example. The Hulk in Avengers, he was in a lot of scenes, but he wasn't overpowering the whole movie. And he was like the star of the whole movie, basically. People loved him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to see a movie of just a Hulk. I just want him to be around. So that's what they should do with Batman for a while. Let him be in the Justice League movie, but don't start his own movie yet. And then if people like that character, the actor who's playing Batman there, then give him his spinoff. I mean, I know it sounds dumb to call it a spinoff, but start with Justice League. And then take them from there.
I think that's what they're planning on doing, actually. I don't think they're going to go the Marvel route by having individual movies first.
Yeah.
I think they're going to start with Justice League.
Yeah.
I don't have very much confidence after the debacle that has been the Avengers movie franchise so far. Outside of the Avengers itself and the first Iron Man movie, everything else has kind of sucked. So I don't have a lot of confidence in that approach, which is why I like my TV idea better. But I think yours is what's actually going to happen.
Good. One last thing I forgot. A listener had asked, I don't know if you remember this, but when we were doing the Prophecies episode, I said, it's possible this trilogy might be better than Lost. So Ben proposed a question to me.
Is this trilogy better than Lost?
No, unfortunately, it's not. Lost is still superior.
You're wrong.
To the Dark Knight trilogy.
That's not true. That's an untruth.
So, sorry about that. So, Ben Avery from Strangers and Aliens is actually the person that asked that. So, no, Ben Avery. Lost is still better.
I disagree. Should we do Lost Part 3 in debate?
No, but you know what? You know what? It might be better than Lost. This is not a joke. Breaking Bad.
It might be.
I am currently in love with Breaking Bad.
Are you watching Season 5?
No, I'm on Season 4.
Okay.
So, hold your horses. Yeah. So,
Breaking Bad is an amazing show.
Breaking Bad, it has some mature themes, but they don't go the nudity route, which I like. They do swear, but not like...
You do see a lot of Walter White in his undies.
They do swear, but not in excess. Or is it in excess? Maybe it is in excess.
It depends on what an excess is.
There is, though, extravagant drug use. Yep. And creation. So
is this like a parental guidance portion of the show?
I'm just saying, I'm going out on a limb by saying Breaking Bad is one of my favorite shows right now.
It is.
So I'm just, for the sake of the sci-fi Christian audience, don't let the children watch it.
It's not family time.
But it is a great show when it comes to looking at moral dilemmas and how your choices affect other people.
Yeah, my wife and I are rewatching it right now. She's never seen it before, so we're in Season 4 as well.
So, Ben, last thing, and then we got to go for the night. Joss Whedon has just signed on to stay with Marvel through the year 2015. He'll be creatively involved in many Marvel movies. And more than that, he's going back to television to work on a Marvel TV show. We don't know what superhero it is yet.
Yeah.
Wow. And as if it was any question, he's going to direct Avengers 2.
And what do you think of this news?
Anything. I mean, awesome, of course. Joss Whedon is the greatest. He's the greatest person other than Damon Lindelof that exists.
Sorry, Jesus.
I meant like in the movie realm, not in history. I'll give Jesus, I'll give him the number one spot on that. No, in TV and movies, it goes like this for me: Damon Lindelof, Joss Whedon.
I was profoundly disappointed by this news.
Profoundly?
Profoundly disappointed. I thought this was terrible news.
Lay it on me.
And I recognize already that I am the only one who thinks so.
No, it's not. Maybe let me guess why you think it's bad. Can I do that?
You can probably guess.
So I'm excited because I like superheroes and I like superhero movies and I love Joss Whedon and I love how he writes. However, I'm guessing that, and I could agree with this if this is what you're thinking, that this is now keeping him from other projects.
That's part of it.
Like other original, because he has one of the most original minds that in show business. I don't know what you want to say in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So if we're missing out on new original ideas, that's a bummer.
Plus, his work on the Avengers, he did help that movie a lot, but that movie was about absolutely nothing. It had zero depth to it compared to all of his other projects, which are about some really cool ideas and thoughts and stuff you can really sink your teeth into. Avengers was so shallow. It was entertaining. It was fun. I really enjoyed it, but it was about absolutely nothing. And now Joss Whedon is harnessed to projects that aren't going to allow him to explore the depth that he brings to his other shows. So we're going to see surface level, goofy Joss Whedon stuff, but none of the depth that really brings his stuff to the next level. That, to me, is extremely disappointing. This is going to waste a decade out of the careers of one of the greatest minds working in TV and movies today on absolute fluff.
I can't completely disagree. I am excited still because I think he can bring the superhero movies to a new level, which I'm happy about that. But when I look at shows like Firefly and Dollhouse and even Buffy,
yep,
some of the, I say even because I haven't finished it yet.
I know. Season 4.
That is exactly where I'm at.
I know. For the last 6 months.
I love his original ideas, and I will miss a chance to see what new things he could come up with.
If they allow him to bring his depth into the Marvel Universe in a way they did not with Avengers, this could be really cool. But my confidence in the Marvel executives' ability to actually make thought-provoking films is non-existent.
Yeah,
I think Avengers was their peak, and it showed that all they're wanting to do is make absolute fluff. Entertaining, sure, but there's no there. And for my money, I'll take a Christopher Nolan movie that engages my thoughts, or a Joss Whedon movie or TV show that makes me think about stuff. Any day of the week before I'll take more mindless fluff like the Avengers.
Listen, Ben, I honestly can't disagree with your thoughts because I share your feelings. I'm still excited about this prospect. I think he can take the movies to a new level.
Yeah.
But I 100% see what you're saying.
From a Marvel perspective, this is good news.
Yeah, exactly. So, Ben, good episode. I enjoyed talking, kind of closing the chapter on our Batman discussion and looking forward to what might be ahead.
Yeah, so I might be back on the show a little bit more now.
Yeah, you have some time on your hands.
I do.
So we'll see how that will work out. I mean, I'm not just going to let you back in with open arms, you know. I mean, we'll have to talk about this off air to see if this is actually going to really happen.
What if I beat up Kobe so he can't do it? Then you'll need to, then there's an opening.
I mean, that's true. I mean, because I do, possible. I have some pretty dedicated new co-hosts.
By dedicated, you mean they show up here like once every 2 months?
I mean,
look, we ran out of music.
One more time. Yeah, I mean, we put together a plan, and we see when we can work it all out. And
but it's not the genius spark that you and I have. Kobe gets up to go to the bathroom all the time. He's got the weakest bladder in the world.
He continues to receive text messages after numerous warnings.
You need a co-host who doesn't text and has an ironclad bladder, and that is me. I want my chair back.
All right, we'll talk about this later. Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I am Ben DiBono.
We're the Sci-Fi Christians. Signing off.
Goodbye.